The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. First and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. First and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome in, everybody. It, of course, is another Sunday. You know what that means? First and 12 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Also on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM. I'm Alex Keery. Mitch Harper, all the way across the ether in Lawrence, Kansas. I'm glad they had internet out there. See how we're just trying to get into how this works in the Big 12, Mitch. I'm surprised
very mature. Very mature of you, Lance Leipold. Was apologized for those comments, by the way.
That's what I was going to say. He pulled back on that. And did he apologize? Like, why apologize? I think it's just more.
No, it's just fun. You know, it's I like the banter. I want more smack talk.
That's what I'm saying. Need. Like, come on. I mean, I know it's a.
Lean
it's
in
a,
on it.
What it is, it's a massive trope. And you don't need to apologize for it. You just go, look, I actually just heard that from one of my assistants years ago who coached at New Mexico. And, you know, he knew he run it, and that's what they always had to say about them there. So I just kind of took that and ran with it because that's the real answer, right? So everybody got used to it. But BYU falls at Kansas. Lance Leipold gets the edge on Kalani Sitake in the first game ever in the Big 12 Conference, 38-27. It wasn't a bad game, Mitch. It wasn't poorly executed totally except for the run game for BYU. And then, of course, those two turnovers were just so bad. But those aren't even the things. I mean, there's just so many things people are waking up to on a Sunday morning, and they're remembering some of these. And I just wanted to kind of remind them, I guess, because, you know, that's kind of our job on the show is to kind of go over it. But with that, our power rankings have changed, and that's where we're going to jump in right here. The living list that is our Big 12 power rankings on a weekly basis. Let's jump in right here.
The Big 12 Power Rankings Big Board. A weekly rank of all 12 programs, from the elite to the bottom dwellers.
All right, so let's start off first here. I thought I'd go controversial and say Texas Tech here. No, come on.
Ooh. Guns up.
Texas Tech is going to have a double digit next to their team probably for a while. But let's go with just the first portion of the name of that school, and let's just go with the University of Texas. Did Texas do enough against Baylor? Did Oklahoma do enough to inch Texas out? And the answer is no. And I think that Texas is going to stay there in that one spot. I think putting it there, Mitch, we both agree, Texas right now is rolling, and Quinn Ewers has about as much confidence as you can have. And Steve Sarkisian, his Texas team is doing all the things that they've said that they were going to do, at least early in the year.
No question, and I think you hate the transitive property in college football, but their win over Alabama still looks pretty good after Bama took care of business against Ole Miss. So
right.
I mean, it's still a very good win what they did in Tuscaloosa a few weeks back, and they taking down Baylor 38-6. I don't care how bad Baylor is this year, and they're pretty bad, but still get a 32-point win in Waco. Last visit to the banks of the Brazos probably for the foreseeable future. That's a good win for Texas. Hey, number two on the power rankings. I think you and I disagree a little bit, but we ultimately came to this conclusion. Number two, the Oklahoma Sooners. They took care of business against Cincinnati. 20-6, the win over the Bearcats. They're undefeated. All eyes soon to be in the Texas State Fair when they go to the Cotton Bowl against Texas in a few weeks.
So they got big Tex there at the Texas State Fair, all right? And having been there to this place, it's not as big as you think, right? You get there and you go, oh, it's this massive statue there on the fairgrounds. And Texas is, and it's a little bit of an analogy here, a little bit of a metaphor of Texas. Always a little bit bigger, you know, from a distance and maybe with the camera on, than when you actually get up next to it and go, oh, that's actually not that. And actually, you know what? They forgot to paint it this year, you know, or whatever. So is Texas going to be the big Tex that's at the fairgrounds on TV, or are they going to be the ones that when you get up close to it, you go, actually, they're not that great? Texas and Oklahoma, I think that's their rightful place at one and two. Kansas at number three, finding its way back into the rankings in a spot where, you know, last
Kansas
week.
Kansas State.
or sorry, Kansas State. They took that dumb loss last week, and I told you they do this every year. There's always a dumb loss. They had it last week, and maybe that got that out of the system. They got it going again. And UCF, putting 44 points up on UCF, nice win for Klieman and his guys there at Kansas State, and I think they belong there. I think the arguments anywhere to try to put somebody in front of them is a little bit moot. Even the folks who say, well, Kansas is undefeated, I don't really care. Kansas State is the better team in the Sunflower State.
Well, and they're the defending Big 12 champs. And Klieman, you know, his program has put together a lot of consistency. And they're going to be a tough out regardless of who they face in this league. Number four, TCU. They got a win out of conference, the last non-conference game for the Horned Frogs over SMU. The Iron Skillet game, 34-17. Just a solid game. I mean, they were up by about three possessions, and SMU tacked on another touchdown in the fourth quarter. But, TCU bouncing back nicely after that week one embarrassment against Colorado.
Number five, Kansas makes the jump this week, and they end up you could make an argument that maybe they could be put in front of TCU.
Yeah.
They've had enough on their plate there. TCU had that first loss. Now you lose to Colorado now. This is one that I could kind of still see that one going the direction of you could put Kansas in front of TCU and get away with it. Maybe we just need an extra week to see how this thing goes. I think TCU is still the more talented team, so it's probably the good place for it. But Kansas moving on up the board, man.
They deserved it, and that was an impressive performance what they did against BYU. Falling this week is UCF, who dropped a game to Kansas State. And that's not a bad loss. I mean, you would like it a little bit more competitive, I think, the final score. It was in front of a hostile crowd, 10th consecutive sellout at K-State. But, you know, I think, again, you got to give UCF a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because they don't have their starting quarterback. And I think, though, but what you've seen is that personnel-wise, I think they're the best equipped to contend week in and week out in this conference among the four newcomers. I think that's kind of the initial takeaways I have out of these four teams, is that UCF's better equipped. But you can't fault them for losing to the defending Big 12 champs to open up their Big 12 era.
All right, now let's get to the bottom half of the rest of the list here. You've got yourself West Virginia at 7. They upend BYU on this list, and why not? Neil Brown's team is West Virginia is 3-1 right now, Mitch, and they just beat Texas Tech, like, handily.
It was an impressive performance, and their lone loss is to Penn State, and they're playing some good football, and they did it with their backup quarterback, Nico Martial. So once they get Garrett Green back, I mean, this is a run-heavy team. C.J. Donaldson's one of the best running backs in this conference. They know who they are, and they've got some personnel back on the offensive line back from injury, so they're feeling pretty good about where they're at, and Neil Brown is quietly cooling down that hot seat. And, you know, he was confident at Big 12 Media Day they weren't going to finish last. He's definitely living up to that so far. And that brings us to number 8, BYU. They fall a few spots in the power rankings. I think this is still fair to put them at 8 because you got to credit that win at Arkansas, but then you go into Kansas and you struggled quite a bit in that second half. I think this is a fair spot considering how the bottom of this league is looking pretty bad right now. I think BYU is better than that bottom. Good spot for BYU after the first week of league play for them to be at.
And again, another weird transitive kind of game where you talk about that. LSU just barely beat the Arkansas Razorbacks right today. I mean, BYU beat them by way more. Don't you love that? They beat LSU by 6 points. They played them today. That's the kind of attitude I love on a Sunday.
College football, baby.
That is being muttered right now in some church hallway. Like, no, we'd probably beat LSU. We beat ourselves yesterday. They didn't beat us, right? All the tropes come out. So again, it's actually easier to go through and pick the top. The bottom is like where we start to really kind of struggle. It's like the battle for the bottom. They're like, no, I want to be worse. No, I want to be worse. And as you get into it here, you're looking at Texas Tech at 11, and they could be 14 for all I care, and really just a bad showing there. You lose to West Virginia. It is a tough trip over there, but again, I mean, we're looking at this thing and a Texas Tech team that is just reeling right now. They're scratching their head, and they thought they had a little bit of a different team.
number 9 and number 10 on this list, Cincinnati and Iowa State. They took a jump
from
14 to 10.
Sorry,
so Iowa State jumps in to number 10. And then, of course, Texas Tech, as you noted, at number 11. But then is where things kind of get real bad. Houston at 12, Alex. Yeah. There's a case to be made that they're the worst team in the league, but yeah, give them some credit for actually blowing out Sam Houston.
Yeah.
That deserves a little bit of acknowledgement.
Well, you know, Sam Houston, I mean, BYU only beat him by 14, so I think Houston probably beat BYU today. Sorry, I started skipping over everybody. I wanted to get to the very bottom just at the beginning. But honestly, 11 through 14, it's a pick 'em, I think, in terms of bad teams. Baylor right now absolutely has no identity and no idea who they are after their loss to Texas. And that gets you to number 14, Mitch. Roll it out here, the absolute worst team in the Big 12 this week.
I didn't think we'd be saying this, but Oklahoma State Cowboys, they are at the bottom of the barrel after a loss to Iowa State.
Yeah, and Iowa State scored a lot of points on them, and that just was not a good place to go for them. So there you go. There is your Big 12 power rankings for week 4 of college football, the very first week of full conference play. Everybody's played a conference game now, I think, across the conference. So we'll take the break here. We got more to jump into. We will come back. We have our Big 12 sound roundup. Stuff heard around the league that you missed or maybe didn't miss, but you got to hear it. So stay right here with us. It is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone and KSL News Radio. It is 1st and 12. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery, happy Sunday. More to go around the corner. Stay with us.
Big 12 Sound Roundup.
Check 1-2.
The best bites, cheap shots, and excuses from Saturday's post-game news conferences.
Welcome back into 1st and 12 here on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone. It's powered by KSL Sports. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery. It's brought to you by Macy's Grocery Store. Happy shopping. As you heard, Big 12 Sound Roundup, the best cuts, the best sound bites from week 4 in the Big 12 Conference. And this league's always got some good gems, but we've got to start things off with head coach of the BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake, and that ball security, man. They got to take care of that thing better.
Obviously, hard-fought battle. We did some things that I thought were pretty good, but there's some other things that we definitely need to improve on. But I have to give a lot of credit to Kansas, what they're doing defensively and what they've done offensively to get the win. Obviously, the thing that stands out the most is whenever you give up turnovers like that and you don't get them yourself, and it's tough to win games, let alone only lose by, 11 points or so. And it's tough to turn the ball over, but then have it be scores on the other side. So I believe it's a fumble return for a touchdown and a pick six that cost us. And we had another interception when we crossed midfield at that point. So got to take care of the football better.
Yeah, I mean, he said it a couple times, and I think his brain is just going that direction. It's like, you know, at some point it's a 1,000-yard stare, Mitch, and you go, yep, we had some problems today, and yep, got to take care of the football. Yep, got to take care of the football. He's going to go to bed tonight, go, got to take care of the football. Got to take care of the football, because that is just, you know, it was the killer today yesterday for BYU. That's how, I mean, it was the entire thing that happened to this team. I mean, you lose by 11 points and 14 of them come off of defensive scores. It's a bummer.
Well, it shows you, too, how thin the margins are. You know, BYU's been a team that their identity has been built the last, you know, 3-4 years since, you know, the COVID year in 2020, where they take care of the football. They don't have these disastrous turnovers, and that's why they've won a lot of games. I mean, coming into the year, they had won, you know, 29 games in the last 3 seasons because they take care of the ball. And this year, they haven't had many struggles. I mean, Keenan Slovis during non-conference play was great, but in a game, in a conference, and, you know, emotions are high, you cannot afford to cough up the football and make it be a disastrous turnover, especially on Saturday where you give up 2 defensive touchdowns. That can't happen. You're not going to win many games that way.
Our Big 12 game that we had focused this week was, of course, Oklahoma going to Cincinnati, a roadie to open up on the in the conference play for Oklahoma. And Coach Brett Venables, after his defense only gave up 6 points to Cincinnati, here's what he had to say.
Yeah, that was a great day. You know, I don't look at bend and break. I don't ever, you know, I don't, they're going to make some plays, and, you know, I don't look at it bend and break. They're going to make some plays. But we made, you know, the ones that we needed to in critical situations. Had a couple of picks, and again, efficiency, and you look at the areas where a year ago we weren't very good. You know, we let people score touchdowns, and they got in the red zone, and so, you know, today was an outstanding effort in those areas, third and fourth down, and red zone stops. You know, our guys were fantastic.
I'm sorry, Mitch, I'm taking notes on this one. Did he say he does or doesn't believe in bend and don't break? I don't really know what he said.
Does not believe.
Oh, okay. They're going to make plays. They're going to make plays. Coach Venables, I'm not telling you, he was in one of the more interesting spots in the conference before the year started, Mitch, where it's like, hey, Ben don't break wouldn't have done it, right? I mean, like this, that you've got to roll if you're at Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's rolling right now, to their credit. And Brett Venables is answering the bell after a bad first year. But, you know, he inherited a program from somebody else, you know, right off the bat. And so he's doing a great job, I think, so far. And, yeah, they did an awesome job against Cincinnati today.
I also like how Venables has not been, he's leaving for the SEC next year, but he's also been very respectful of this conference, because this league is his roots, you know, in the Big Eight. That's where he cut his teeth.
Sure.
In this conference where he played. And I thought it was interesting how, you know, he's very complimentary of Brett Yormark. Brett Yormark was there in Cincinnati for that game yesterday. And I do appreciate that, because I kind of wondered how Texas and Oklahoma would treat the league on their way out. I know Yormark hasn't done himself any favors when he was playing up to the crowd in Texas Tech, but that's been kind of nice to see Venables saying good things about the league is in good hands going forward, because I honestly thought, you know, they would want to see this league just fold like a tent after they leave, but that hasn't been the case with Brent Venables. And the guy that's going to, you know, that wanted to maybe look to be the flagpole or the bell cow brand after Texas and OU leave is Oklahoma State. Well, they're showing no signs that this year, that they're built to be the top program going forward. Mike Gundy, after the Iowa State loss, pretty candid, and he realizes that his team probably not in a good mood after a disappointing loss on the road at Iowa State.
Well, they're not going to be upbeat. I mean, I don't want them to be upbeat. I understand what you're asking. I'm not worried about their morale. I'm not worried about their team chemistry. The thing that I have to do is be honest with them. What I told them is the same thing I told you. My job is to look and see what happened, if we came up short, what went wrong, and how to fix it. But also, if we rush the ball better than we have all year, I have to tell them we ran the ball better than we have all year. Our protection, if that was better, we protected better in this game than we have maybe all year. I don't know without watching it. And I'm speaking offensively. Now, this defense is good. I mean, we all know that, right? So let's take into consideration what we did and what we got accomplished versus what could have very well been the best defense we played all year.
So interesting words from Mike Gundy. I mean, I'll tell you, the thing that's tough about this, Mitch, is across the conference, you tell me if I'm wrong, and BYU fans, I think you can even put in this category as well, they look at Iowa State and go, all right, that's a bit of a mess of a situation there. Let's put that down for a W. Am I wrong? I mean, that's how people look at Iowa State right now. And Mike Gundy, 3 weeks ago, probably would have thought the same thing. But they go in there and they get a big loss. And it's just right now the losses are piling up for Mike Gundy and Oklahoma State.
And the offseason was brutal for Mike Gundy with all the transfer portal exodus, and then to have it followed up with these type of performances. And the thing is that last week was such a horrific loss to South Alabama where, sure, it's going to happen. You're going to lose some games to Group of Five teams. It happens. There's good football with the portal era. There's good talent everywhere in college football, but they got – the doors blown off them last week. And then you give up 34 to Iowa State, who just made Iowa's offense at times look explosive. I mean, Iowa State has been brutal offensively, and you give up 34. That doesn't bode well, that they can't stop anyone, and you wonder about the effort. And, you know, Gundy said all the right things there, but I think that you got to really wonder about that locker room going forward.
Yeah, you know, if you look at this and you look at where these teams have been, Oklahoma State in particular, where that 2 years ago they were in the Big 12 championship game with Baylor, who is also right now on the bottom kind of looking up going, I don't know who we are either, man. I mean, this is – here's – if you're BYU right now, yeah, you lost that first one against Kansas. But you can climb your way into this thing still, and you can actually make a bigger, you know, wave maybe than people thought you could. All is not lost with a loss to Kansas, who's turning out to be one of the better teams in the conference, at least early here in the season. All right, we got to take another break here. And when we come back, we've got our four corners whip around, a little check-in. All the teams that have that are going to be leaving the Pac-12 and coming in to the Big 12 next year. And you know what? There's some surprises out there, and you know the big ones, of course, some low scoring across the Pac-12 that's seen a lot of high scoring so far this year. Stay right here with us. More to go. It's 1st and 12, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone and KSL News Radio.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. 1st and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. 1st and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Skiri on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back into 1st and 12. Mitch Harper and Alex Skiri. There's so many different ways to listen to this show. If you missed any part of the program, got it on podcast, on the KSL Sports app, and all major podcasting platforms, so you can go check that out there. Or you can listen here on KSL News Radio, replay 3 to 5. And then, of course, on Sundays, 10 to noon, as we're in right now, on the KSL Sports Zone. So wherever you're listening, appreciate all of you tuning in. Right now, though, on the show, we got to get to our Four Corners Whip Around.
The Four Corners Whip Around. Whip Around. We check on future Big 12 opponents and rivals from the Four Corners.
Mitch, you know I always have to ask you this every week. What kind of food they have in Kansas? Is that a... I feel like the hot dish is also... They do a casserole really well, and we'll judge a casserole pretty well also. Did you eat well while you were in Lawrence there?
I did. I went to this place called 23rd Street Brewery. It was recommended by a radio station in Topeka. Mm. I was a guest on one of their shows, and they said to go check out the 23rd Street Brewery, which has this like Bill Self specialty pizza. It was awesome. And there was a lot of Kansas Jayhawk decor on the walls. It was kind of a, you know, Friday night pregame type of get excited football Friday sort of place. It was good. And they also catered, I wasn't expecting this, but they also catered the pregame meal in the press box. They had some brats, some food. It was awesome. So 23rd Street Brewery, that might be the go-to spot whenever coming back to Lawrence going forward.
Love it. Across the conference, we're going to be boosting the food profile of this conference with the addition of the new teams and the new teams even next year.
I forgot to, before we get to the four corner teams, mm-hmm. I did also have a runza, which I think is a Nebraska specialty.
It's called a what?
Hold on, runza.
Google.
You got to look that up. It's
hold on.
Based out of Nebraska, but
did it give you the
apparently
runza?
Made its way to it did not, but it wasn't bad. It was like this sandwich. It looked disgusting, but I was like, you know, I'm going to try it.
I got
I'm
it.
I'm going to give
runza
it a go.
Sandwich.
It was like a cheesesteak.
Yeah, it's kind of like an enclosed. Yes, it's like a calzone cheesesteak kind of situation. Okay,
not bad.
I mean, I'm not gonna look. It's got beef and cheese in it. I'm not gonna kick it out of bed. Let's go.
It's pretty good.
All right, Mitch. The teams that are, of course, coming into the Big 12 next year, all coming from the Pac-12, and I will tell you, I'm gonna start things off here because this was the one I ended up having to do some post game on. It was that Utah UCLA game. Lots of ranked opponents playing one another in the Pac-12 so far. And these teams, of course, Utah, UCLA is heading to the Big Ten, Utah heading to the Big 12 next year. And the Utes put on an absolute show on defense. You've got a head-scratcher from an offensive perspective because Nate Johnson comes in and gets the start, and Cam Rising still is hurt to some degree to the point where they didn't let him start again. That's concerning also because their offense has zero identity while their defense carried him through the entire friggin' day.
It did. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see when Cam Rising actually comes back. I know Nate Johnson swore that he'll improve and he's going to be a better quarterback going forward, but you just wonder what the potential is of this team this year because that offense is just is sputtered without Cam Rising. And the thing is you're getting now to a point where a third of the season is over, and when he does come back, he being Cam Rising, how long does it take for him to get back to his normal self, the guy that you remember seeing getting a game-winning touchdown against USC on the ground? Will he ever be that guy again at some point this season? There's some real questions about that. So it was a tough win because UCLA, I thought they had some quarterback questions of their own coming into this game, but solid win and kind of a Utah win of old school days back like 20 years ago with Ronnie Mack or the early days of Kyle Whittingham, 14-7 sort of game.
Yeah, and of course they'll all say, man, our defense is awesome, right? But in the end, they're head scratching right now, wondering what they're going to do going forward here. Other teams, of course, that are coming into the conference. The big one that was on TV at the same time, that Utah-UCLA game, the Oregon-Colorado game that everybody was anticipating. Let's get to Coach Prime's sound here because I know that we wanted to wait maybe till the end of this one, but when it was 30, when it was, at the half, it was actually 35-0 at the half. They scored on their first possession in the second half. It was 42-0 with about 12 minutes left in the third quarter, Mitch. And I was thinking, my heavens, I hope they get to 70 on this thing. Colorado exposed in all sorts of ways. And Dan Lanning had a field day with it. And Coach Prime owned up to it after the game.
It's a good old-fashioned butt kicking. It's no excuses, no nothing. Their coaches did a heck of a job preparing their team. Obviously, we didn't. That was good. I mean, that was a really good old-fashioned butt kicking. We went into the game wanting to dominate several phases. We lost offensively, defensively, as well as special teams. That fake punt kind of got them really rolling, and they didn't stop ever since they secured that first down. Well-coached team. Bo Nix played his butt off. Defensively, they presented some things that I guess we just couldn't get around. We couldn't advance the ball rushing or throwing the ball as well. Seemed like they had our number. But hats off to their coaching staff, to their head coach. Great job, and they're truly prepared.
I like Prime, and he doesn't lie about what it is. He doesn't make up any excuses. He's just like, that was a better team. And their coach was – listen, Dan Lanning was talking so much crap on these guys. Mm-hmm. And so he had every right to be like, you know, I didn't like what he was saying about us in the media. He's like, whatever, man. I've had people say the worst stuff that you could say about a guy. And he's moving right on. Shedeur Sanders was exposed a little bit. The inability to protect your quarterback exposed a ton. I mean, that's been happening in every game. How about the balance for Oregon, though? 282 through the air, 240 on the ground. That Oregon team, I mean, the top of the Pac-12 is just absolutely insane. But Colorado getting a dose of some reality here. The honeymoon may be over.
Well, and the thing is how many points do you count for from the loss of Travis Hunter, who wasn't in this game, who's sidelined with an injury? I mean, it's very rare you lose a cornerback, wide receiver that maybe was good for, you know, two touchdowns. Still, that wouldn't have closed the gap here. But, you know, Travis Hunter's presence was significant. Usually you don't see that sort of blowback unless you lose a quarterback. His loss was significant on this team. And, yeah, Coach Prime, you knew there was an issue when this whole week he wasn't getting into the trash talk and the headlines, because easily he could have went in on Dan Lanning. But he knew probably internally that his O-line was not equipped to handle the Ducks, who are an excellent team on both sides of the football. Dan Lanning's got a squad that can maybe be playoff good. I mean, if you win the Pac-12 this year, you're probably going to the playoff. You should be, at least. So they look really good today.
If you're the second place team in the Pac-12, you should be in consideration. I mean, honestly, that's how strong they are at the top of this conference. Who else we got here?
Arizona takes down Stanford in just a sick, disgusting sort of game, 21-20. But hey, you get a win. I mean, Stanford lost last week to Sacramento State, so you probably, if you're Jed Fish in Arizona, would have liked to have won this game by a bigger margin, but a win is a win. You can't take those for granted if you're Arizona, who continues to try to work its way back to climbing for a bowl. So they get a victory, and they improve this season. But I can't picture the type of person that was watching that game today. Like, among all the great games in college football, if you were watching Arizona Stanford, you're a sick, disgusting human. You're probably listening to this show right now, which is
great.
Hey,
listen, you got the wrong TV package, son, if you're watching Stanford in Arizona with a 21-20 finish on that one. All right, there are your teams across the Pac-12 that are coming into. It's our regional whip around here. It's our four corners whip around. We do it every week here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, We've got a full breakdown of what the schedule looks like next week across the conference. You do not want to miss this. Get yourself informed on all the Big 12 action on 1st and 12 right here, 97.5. The KSL Sports Zone, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM on KSL News Radio. Alex Keery, Mitch Harper coming right back. Stay with us.
The week ahead. Matchups that have us the most excited about the week to come in the Big 12.
Welcome back, everybody. It is another edition right here of 1st and 12 on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Sunday to you, Alex Keery, Mitch Harper, bringing you everything that you need to know about BYU's newest conference. Their loss, of course, yesterday in Lawrence, Kansas, start things off 0-1 in the Big 12, but lots of football still to be played. Alex Keery, Mitch Harper, thanks for being with us on the program. It's all brought to you by Macy's Grocery Store, the freshest fruits and vegetables from local farms and your favorite local brands. Macy's, happy shopping. Mitch, this is where we get into what's going on next week. And you know what? We're in a full slate now. Everybody's going, no one's playing out of conference, folks. If you're not playing, you're on a bye. If you are playing somebody, you're playing someone in conference. I love it. We're in full-on league play, man.
It's a lot. Going to be a lot of fun. And it starts off with a Friday night tilt, BYU and Cincinnati, which will kick off at 8:15. Extended pregame starts at 6 here on KSL News Radio, and it'll be televised on ESPN. You know, this is a tricky game for BYU. I feel like, Alex, if BYU wants to go to a bowl game, and I know they do, they have to win this game. It feels like this is one that it's a toss-up. There could be a chance that they're maybe the favorite. We'll see what happens there. But they have to win this game. If they want to go to the postseason, they need this one.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those, too, that if you're looking at it and you're one of these folks who just wants to kind of get by in the Big 12, that's not what we're talking about here. You got to be able to you know, take care of business there and make sure that it happens. Let's go a little bit down south here, too. How about Houston at Texas Tech? These are two teams who are supposed to be performing a little bit better. Although I think if you're going to compare teams who are licking wounds here, I'd say Texas Tech is in a worse spot here, Mitch.
They definitely are because the expectations were so high. I mean, Houston, they might have a coach that's on the hot seat. How what point does Tillman Fertitta, basically the owner of that program, does he say he wants to pull the plug on Holgorsen? But, you know, they had a nice performance this past weekend yesterday against Sam Houston, and Texas Tech desperately needs a win, and Tyler Shuck's out. He suffered an injury, so Baron Morens comes in, back up. You know, Joey McGuire in the offseason said he felt like he had two NFL future quarterbacks, so there's a feeling that the production won't drop off. But Shuck, you know, he wasn't getting it done. They weren't winning games. So we'll see what happens there with Texas Tech. That is an intriguing spot because if you lose to a Big 12 newcomer, man, West Texas is going to be up in arms on online. They're going to be wanting some big changes if they don't get a win there.
Baylor at UCF. Baylor does not know who they are. They have also not left the confines of McLean Stadium yet. This will be a big kick in the teeth if they can't get their stuff together.
Big win, and our friend Terry Mahajer, he has been vocal about having everyone visit Orlando, and UCF's got all this branding and imaging all over the town. What was it, in the summertime on July 1st, they had the Ferris wheel and the colors of every team. It was like, welcome Baylor to Orlando, and it's just this
wow.
Ferris wheel. Yeah, they're hyped, and the Bounce House, I'm telling you, I've been to the Bounce House. I was there in 2014. One of the better atmospheres I've been to in college football games. They are rowdy. It's young. I've never seen as many beer keg stands in my life.
Hold on a minute. Is this – wait, even more than – yeah, I was going to say. Boy, that's kind of crazy. Wait, is that Camping World Stadium? Is that what the Bounce House is?
No, Camping World's where in Orlando, the old Citrus Bowl. Bounce House is on the campus of UCF.
Yes.
Yes, and it gets rocking. I mean, it has about 45,000 fans in there, but it's a loud crowd, and I expect that it's going to be a hostile environment. They're going to be pumped up to have their first Big 12 home game. So,
hold on, let me write this down. Did you say keg stands? I'm trying to spell
it. Yeah, keg stands on our lovely Sunday here on KSL News Radio.
I'm telling you, UCF. Now, see, I just have to get myself saying that instead of Central Florida. I mean, they could just absolutely beat the pants off of Baylor. I mean, that's
no
how
question.
Bad Baylor is right now. Iowa State at Oklahoma. going into Norman, not a good spot for Iowa State. This is a team who they got the nice win over Oklahoma State this last weekend. You're not going to be as lucky going into Norman next week.
They had the nasty defense, so maybe they can make it a low-scoring deal. West Virginia.
Best defense in the whole conference, man. That's the best defense we've seen all year.
West Virginia at TCU, 6 p.m., ESPN2. It's an interesting game. I mean, you're talking – I didn't think we'd be talking about West Virginia in interesting games this year, but that could be a spot where you're talking about some of the – two of the top teams in this league. And then probably the biggest game of the week, Kansas at Texas. 2 years ago, Lance Leipold's Kansas squad went into the 40 acres and got a massive upset. Can they do it again?
Yeah, this was the this is how that backup fullback got the deal with like the sandwich place, right?
Yes, back in the NIL deal.
That was a classic one, but that's the game that I'm the most interested in outside of BYU hosting Cincinnati, of course. But I mean, because then you're going to find out, is Kansas as real as they are? If they play Texas well enough, then you kind of go, all right, you don't have to worry this much about this. By Friday night, though, by the end of Friday night, you'll be able to at least know if you're 0-2 in conference or if you're 1-1. Cincinnati coming to BYU, it's at least a more familiar opponent. But Cincinnati's never been to Provo, so that's the part where I think it's kind of interesting. Wait, have they? I'm trying to think if they –
Cincinnati's been to Provo. And
oh, that's right.
And remember, Alex, it was the game where a Cincinnati receiver got blasted so hard by Kai Nakua that the receiver then went to X, formerly known as Twitter –
oh,
saying,
yes.
I got hit so hard by a virgin who can't even drink Mountain Dew.
I forgot about this.
These BYU guys go hard. And it was an all-time tweet. And I was like, why is he apologizing for that? That's a great tweet.
No,
but,
it's amazing.
Yeah, that was the last time Cincinnati rolled into town. It was in 2015. And they'll make their next appearance coming up on Friday night on a short week. And it's a late-night game, 10:15 kick on body clock game for them. So BYU's got a chance to show that fan base in a Big 12 home opener in LES.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm telling you, that's what Leipold should have said. He goes, if he's going to go full stereotype, you know, I know that there are a bunch of virgins who can't drink Mountain Dew. Is that about right?
So this segment's had virgins and kids stands. We're loose.
Oh, my goodness.
We're having a good time.
I blame Mitch Harper.
Lawrence here we got are. Me feeling some kind
I
of
know.
Way.
Mitch, happy travels back to Utah, and hopefully you'll clean up your act by the time you get back
here.
Yeah,
rock chalk. Rock
All right,
chalk,
there you
Alex.
Go. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery, 1st and 12 right here, KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us on a Sunday. We're going to do this every week. Download the podcast wherever you get your fine podcast. Mitch and I are going to have this thing up for you every Sunday afternoon, at least, be able to get all these. And it replays, of course, on KSL News Radio 3 to 5 as well. For Mitch Harper, Alex Keery here, Eric Cabrera hitting the buttons in the control room, and we're going to take the break here. We'll be back again next week. Stay with us, and we'll talk to you then, everybody. Happy football.